Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for this day on which we celebrate the gift that you've given us through your resurrection, the gift of life, and the hope that is promised us in every trial. God, we pray that as we think together about these things, that you might be present in these words, that you might be present in this room, that you might be present in each one of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you agree with me that the idea of navigating what's real and what's true has gotten a lot more difficult lately? I mean, there have always been conspiracy theories and conspiracy theorists. Lots of people don't believe that the JFK assassination happened with just one guy. There's still people who don't believe that the moon landing actually happened. There's still people that believe the earth is flat. That is the most amazing conspiracy of all, by the way. And this week has just reinforced it. If you've been reading coverage about Kate Middleton, or God forbid you read the comments section about the video that shows the bridge collapsing, you come very quickly to realize that people are suspicious of the official narratives of anything. And interestingly, if you keep reading in Matthew's gospel, even just a few verses beyond where we left off, what you find is that early Christians also had their own versions of these things. If you keep reading a little bit, it'll talk about how the guards were paid off in order not to say anything. So all this is nothing new. But you've got to admit that things like AI, things like deepfakes, those make it even more difficult to know what's real and what's not. I mean, how do you know I even wrote this sermon, right? Kate will testify to it. It seems that Pontius Pilate was expressing something that was both primal and prescient when he asked the question, what is truth? What is truth? More and more, I'm convinced that truth for most of us is not about whether a statement comports with reality, whether or not a statement comports with the actual facts of the matter, but instead whether it fits into the set of beliefs that we've already built our lives on. And what that means to me is that the set of beliefs that we build our lives on is something that is of absolute and primary importance, which makes for interesting preaching on Easter. Because the belief that's at the very heart of Christianity is something that's almost impossible to believe. The idea that a guy got up and walked out of a tomb. That is the farthest thing from our reality that you can imagine. On any other day of the year, I can be reasonably certain that when I come in here and I preach a sermon to you, that, you know what? Whatever somebody's faith is about, wherever they are on that journey, that I will probably say something, even if just by luck, that will resonate with that person. But on this day, of all days, my task is to talk about somebody getting up and walking out of a grave. People are at all different places. Some of you probably come in very much committed to that idea. Some of you are really mainly interested in brunch. I love mimosas and French toast as much as anybody else. But my guess is that the majority of us are somewhere in between. That what we're really hoping for most of all is that we might hear something that's worth building a life on. That's the challenge for today. And so that's how I wanted to find truth this morning. Truth is that which you can build a life on. Because we've all got to build our lives on something. And we want something that's going to hold up. That's going to hold up in those moments when everything else seems to be falling down around us. We want something that's going to hold up, that's not going to require us to defend it, that's not going to require us to argue for it, but something that we can just live out and let that be our witness. Now, I believe that resurrection is one of those truths, but not necessarily for the reasons that you might think. The resurrection is certainly not a provable thing in the sense of modern day, but again, would it matter if I had the proof? It wouldn't. The resurrection is important, don't get me wrong. What it says about life and death is important. Because somebody in this room probably has been thinking more about their own mortality than they ever have before. And if that's where you are today, then maybe that's the message that you need to take away. But if you're like me, and you're hoping that that day is somewhere far in the future, then maybe there's a different piece of the Easter story. There's a different piece of the Easter truth that we might want to resonate this morning. Because resurrection isn't supposed to be something that we just kind of tuck away in our mind for future use, for the day when we face our own mortality. But it should be something that we could appeal to whenever and wherever we need to. Because there's a reality here. Hemingway talked about it in one of his books, in A Farewell to Arms. He said, "The world breaks everyone. The world breaks everyone." And what that says to me is that we will face death many times over before we get to that last day. We will face over and over again things that feel like they are ready to steal our lives from us. We'll face that over and over and over again before we face the real thing. Death of relationships, death of careers, death of financial security, death of our dreams and our visions for the future. We will face death many times before we come up against the real thing. And that's why resurrection isn't just a promise, it isn't just a truth for that day, but it's a truth for today. It's one that we need to live out of every single moment. Because otherwise, how do we keep going when it seems like everything around us is falling apart? How do we keep going when it feels like the life we knew is dying? We can't. We can't without this understanding of the truth that is resurrection. Now, that's not an easy thing to do. There is fear and there is confusion and there is this constant need that we have a reassurance. It's not all that different from what the women at the tomb faced on that very first Easter Sunday morning when they show up. The message that they hear over and over is, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, from the angels, from Jesus. And yet, what's described is that when they leave the tomb, they leave with fear and excitement. Even when God begins to move the stones for us, even when we have that experience that maybe God is doing something new, we get to that moment when we perceive the resurrection may be happening, we still don't trust it. We still wonder about it. We still question it. We still fear that it might not be real. And that's why we need to hold fast to this truth of the resurrection in every circumstance. So, this is my first Sunday preaching after having eye surgery about 6 weeks ago. Those of you who are, you know, regularly worshiping with us already know that. So I had a detached retina, and I went and I had surgery. I'll admit that when it first happened, that I was terribly afraid. I've struggled with poor eyesight for my entire life. Last year, I was diagnosed with cataracts in both eyes, which is a really weird thing to have when you're relatively young. They're all very fixable conditions, but this was different. Literally, what happened was you just begin to see kind of a curtain coming down on your vision. And getting help wasn't easy because Kate and I were on vacation. We didn't really know where to go. It was a holiday weekend. It was after hours. We went to one ER and they couldn't help us. We went home. We're just like, what are we going to do? My heart, it's like, we need to send out a prayer request. We did, and through the prayers and through the persistence of some folks in the congregation, they let us know about a doctor who we eventually went to and treated us. Kate had to drive me round trip multiple times back and forth. It was like a 4-hour round trip to get to where we needed to go. You know, the recovery is not, it's not painful or anything. It's just long. First, you have to lie face down, then you can do this. It's just this process. But even as you begin to get better and they begin to release some of the restrictions, a lot of things are still difficult. You know that they've fixed the thing, but you don't feel all that great. I'd be standing up and I'd feel dizzy. Reading makes you woozy. And even now, I still have this kind of big black splotch in my eye. And it makes lights kind of look a little weird. There were a lot of days leading up to this Easter when I was so incredibly frustrated. And I couldn't do some key things. I couldn't read the scriptures. I couldn't preach. How am I supposed to lead a church when in the middle of the most important season, arguably, of the Christian year, you can't do? And I found myself sinking into a kind of depression. And I feel even silly kind of talking about it because I know that there are so many in this, including in this congregation, who deal with things that are far, far, far more difficult. The doctor was telling me, you know, it looks good. But in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, but it still doesn't feel right. Even today, coming out the door for the early service, I almost fell down the steps. I worry still. I've never been patient. But when you're waiting on your Easter, when you're waiting on that stone to get rolled away, sometimes you have to be. And that's hard. And so the question is, how do you keep moving forward? Well, what I want to say is that the only thing that keeps you moving forward is when you can live out of that truth of the resurrection that says that the stone will move, that life will come, that God will be at work. But if we don't have that, if we don't have that already built into our hearts as the truth that we hold most dear, and how will we ever see it happen? That's what I want to leave you with today. You've got to take this truth of Easter and live it every single day. Because I don't know when it's going to happen. It might happen today, it might happen tomorrow, it might happen a week from now, it might happen 5 years from now, where you'll find yourself in a position that's going to feel like one of those little deaths. And maybe you know this very well because you're already in it. Maybe you are waiting on the results of a biopsy. Maybe today you're waiting to hear back from the court about custody for your kids. Maybe, you know, you're waiting to hear back from that job that you're hoping is going to help you to pay your bills. Whatever it is, if you don't have this truth to build your life on, then it's hard to be able to see when God begins to roll that stone away. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for your power at work in us. We give you thanks for the gift of resurrection. And for all those who are gathered here, for all those who are joining us online, we just pray for each one of them that we might be able to have this truth of resurrection, this belief that is central to who we are, that we might have it firmly planted in our hearts, so that when things get difficult, we might have a place to stand. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.